The views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. Hour number two. Welcome, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at West Fountain Auto Body. You know, as the weather gets stormy and there's a lot of snow and ice, if you find yourself in an accident, and it can happen, whether or not it's your fault or not, call West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340, 272-3340 for West Fountain Auto Body. Well, folks, joining us right now, as we love to talk politics with them, is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, Justin, I want to start off. Boy, that was quite a poll that Channel 12 released last week. When we last spoke, it was set to come out. And before we start to dig into it a little bit, I'd like to hear what some of your thoughts were, just some of your basic takeaways from the poll.
Well, the first takeaway is that it wasn't really surprising at all. It's in line with what we've been talking about for months now. Raimondo just barely edges out Alan Fung, very similar to the last election, with Joe Trillo taking enough votes, presumably from Alan Fung, for that outcome to occur. That's the top-line takeaway that pretty much everybody is acknowledging at this point. But there were some more, I mean, if you get into the details, some more interesting things, like Patricia Morgan, for example, actually loses votes and women voters to Raimondo. So women who would vote for Fung would choose Raimondo over Patricia Morgan, which is an interesting take that differs from the usual, you know, identity politics kind of analysis we see so often. So those are a couple of the big takeaways. One that interests, but I find interesting, is that Governor Raimondo still is more favorable than not to people as a person, but her job approval is not favorably seen by Rhode Islanders, which I always find those humorous. You know, it's almost a hedge. I'd like to hang out with that person, but I really don't think he or she ought to be governing us. And so that pretty much sums up, I mean, the governor's race anyway. There are other details we can get into, obviously.
You know, I agree with you. It's got to be, to me, frustrating. I think the poll numbers are actually terrible for Governor Raimondo, because this is, you know, she won with 40% of the vote, and here it is basically 4 years later, and her numbers at 38%. You take Joe Trillo out of the mix, and those Trillo 6% voters aren't, maybe they're undecided, but they're not going. They're not going to Gina Raimondo. So basically, with Trillo out of the mix, it's Fung 32, Raimondo 38. Now, what I also find interesting, Justin, is Healy got 22% of the vote, and this Channel 12 poll shows 17% undecided. My experience has been that is somewhat good news for the challenger, because it's hard to think that at this point, 4 years in, that someone is still undecided on whether or not they want to see Governor Raimondo continue for four more years. So, you know, obviously, if you're the Raimondo people, if you go back to when she was elected in 2014, and, you know, the famous thing, you know, remember President Obama came in, and they had lunch at Greg's, and she went to the White House, and, you know, it's pretty remarkable. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, Deval Patrick was a very popular governor of Massachusetts. Baker next door is somewhere between 66%, 70% approval rating, Republican governor in Massachusetts. Gina Raimondo, who was on board the Hillary campaign, and first female governor, and everything else. I think there's just no way they ever envisioned at this point that they would still be well below 50. I mean, forget about 50%. There's no way they're getting close to 50%, but even below 40%. And some things that stood out to me is she only has 62% from Democrats, and her independent numbers are atrocious at 29%. Now, again, you know, we've been saying Bob Healey got, I believe it was 70,000 votes or 72,000, somewhere in the 70s, right around there. You know, where are those votes going? And right now, I just don't see how, with all the things that can happen, that she is going to be able to close the gap. Before we get into the Matt Brown factor, David Ortiz in the Providence Journal said there's a disconnect between Raimondo's record and, quote, the public's perception of it. I'd like to get your reaction to that, because to me that immediately comes into perception is reality. You know, again, they're looking at it as there's something wrong with the public. We've done a great job. She's done a great job. There's a disconnect between the great job she's done and the public perception of it.
Yeah, I was actually about to bring that up, because that's a kind of a funny line. I mean, they've done nothing but spin the numbers for 3 years now, because they don't look good for Rhode Island. I think Len Lardero, University of Rhode Island economist, is out right now suggesting, you know, our fundamentals aren't going very well in Rhode Island, whereas they are for the country. We're kind of, people are starting to see we seem to be missing this wave. It's not even that, you know, Gordon Fox and Lincoln Chafee kind of half joked during the recession that Rhode Island's always the first into a recession and last one out. But we're not even seeing that. It's just looking like we're not moving forward.
Yeah.
As the rest of the country is, and that people are starting to see that. So it's not that it hasn't reached people yet; it's that it's not happening. You can only hide that for so long, especially if any kind of downturn comes our way in the near future. And regarding the 20% of people who say they're undecided at this point, if you think about it, Fung would only have to, if it came down to those 20% of people, whichever group of them decided to vote for one of the two leading candidates, Fung and Raimondo, Fung would have to actually Raimondo would actually have to win those by a surprising margin for her to not be overtaken by that slim gap with Alan Fung. So meaning that even if those 20% are just people who genuinely, who actually know what's going on and will eventually pick one of these two candidates, it seems very, very likely that at this point, with the incumbent having been there for 3 years and those people still undecided, it seems very likely that they will break for the challenger, in this case, Alan Fung, enough to get over that 2% margin, I would think. So I don't know that they'll, and even if they all broke for, say, Joe Trillo, except for 2%, Fung wins again. So that unknown doesn't look like a decisive factor to me. I think it's probably people just hedging their bets. But again, Governor Raimondo has given people no reason to support her. That's why they like her, maybe. She's still favorable, but they're just not happy with the way the state's going, the way she's been doing her job, and it's gonna drag on her, even with, you know, $3 to $5 million to campaign on.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because again, that goes into one of the pundits, and again, this is in the political scene in the Providence Journal, said, will any of this matter if Raimondo's able to raise and spend upwards to $5.6 million? As she did in 2014, to dominate the TV airwaves and internet while armies of state-paid staffers shoot and post photos and videos of her every move. You know, Justin, I come back to Hillary Clinton. Money was not an issue for Hillary Clinton. The problem was the candidate. And no matter how much money they spent, because she did, she had money and resources were not a problem for the Clinton campaign. But it was Bernie Sanders that won Rhode Island. It was not Hillary, even though, you know, the entire establishment was for Hillary. When Hillary appeared at Central Falls High School for that rally and only drew 500 people in April of 2016, you had Senator Reid, Senator Whitehouse, Congressman Cicilline, Congressman Langevin. You had Governor Raimondo, Nelly Gorbea. I mean, they Seth Magaziner, the whole establishment was there. Bernie Sanders drew 8,000 people to Roger Williams Park, and, you know, he beat her in Rhode Island. So I think one of the problems, before we get into Matt Brown, for the Raimondo people is I don't think they know what to do. And it comes back to, even if Hillary spent a lot of money on television, I just don't think it matters. Right now, the people that are against Raimondo, I don't think it matters how many commercials of her they run 4 years in. Don't you think that their opinion of her is already formulated, and that there's a certain number she's never, think about that, never going to get to 50%. It's completely out of the question.
Right. Well, the analysis that you need to, that the money can, at least in PR, can overcome anything, kind of assumes that people just don't know her. And if they see her, they'll like her. But that's not, the evidence does not appear to be there for that. People who are paying attention at this point know who she is. They know what she has or hasn't done. And a lot of them just either don't approve of what she's done or don't like her. And the more you put her in front of those people, it's not at all clear that you're going to win them over. If they don't like her, then you're only going to make that worse and make them really want to vote against her.
Yes.
If they just don't think she's done all that great a job, the more spin you do, the worse that impression will be. So you'll have that disconnect where they're putting out her PR, as the article puts it, the state-paid PR people are putting out pictures of her, you know, petting puppies or something like that, or kittens probably. And people looking at that image will have a negative reaction because they're thinking, well, what about people who aren't getting benefits through UHIP? You know, what about all of the things we've seen her do poorly and not take full responsibility for and not fix? That'll create that contrast for those people, which creates a multiplier effect for any competitors who don't have to have her resources to advertise, but they just have to have enough to get people to remember those things so that when they see her barrage of advertising, then they'll instantly recall the negative stuff, even though it's not in front of them as often. And that's a real risk, which is why I think the better use of her money is going to be almost literally buying votes by sending out people with mail ballots.
Yes.
to get people to just put her there.
Absolutely.
Put her name down.
No, as you and I have talked about for some time, I think what they saw in Newport, they're going to do with an awful lot of money, which is, it used to be called get out the vote, but it's going to be mail ballots, emergency voting. It's going to be paying people per ballot. That person in Newport that they hired for that campaign, just like you and I have talked about, they paid her $4,000 and she delivered, I think it was $230 votes. So it's the equivalent of right around $20 a vote, somewhere in there. I think their only shot is massive amounts of money on the ground game. That woman in Newport, and again, I'm not suggesting that she did anything illegal. There is something wrong with the system, but they made her a notary. That was her summer job. She would go back and forth. Hey, can you fill this out? I'll bring it to City Hall. I'll bring you back your ballot. You're standing 3 feet away. They fill it out. I think the Raimondo people, that is their only shot of doing this, where they are going to, and I've heard from people, they are going to go to every possible adult in Providence, Woonsocket, Pawtucket, those three places, and get, especially Providence, every possible adult voter, track them down, and boom, get them to fill out a mail ballot or emergency ballot. Now, I also want to get into, Justin, before we move into the Matt Brown situation, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. As much as you and I, I did speak with Joe Trillo the day after the poll came out, and he said some interesting things. Number one, he said that he recognizes and doesn't back off the fact that President Trump is not doing well in Rhode Island, and he said they're going to have to monitor how well that's going to go. He also said, you know, we have such a long way to go, and my name recognition, I'm not surprised, and so therefore, I'm in the general, so that's in November. But to me, if you have the poor name recognition that Trillo has, I like, now is the time. You can't wait. I mean, what are you going to launch the campaign after Labor Day? I mean, he has to be out there now. And other than he does send out press releases, he did come on, he does some media interviews. I don't know. I mean, I think it's 6%, and his unfavorables are higher than his favorables. I think I don't see tremendous effort to try to boost up the Trillo name recognition. This is the time that you'd want to start doing it. Otherwise, you run into the fact that you just entered. He's an unknown. He remains an unknown.
Well, yeah, and if his problem is name recognition, putting out policy papers isn't going to change that, except to the extent that it gets you headlines, which could be bad, because if you put out a policy paper that's so unique and unusual among all the candidates, it could turn off a lot of people who might otherwise have voted for you. So it is a matter right now of just being out there and getting those favorability numbers up. Patricia Morgan, for example, could say her favorability of those who said they knew something about her, she was positive more than negative on her favorability. But so she could get people to know her a little better. Maybe some policies would boost her a bit. But when the people who know you don't like you on average, it's not clear that policies are going to, you're not going to reach people with policy papers, and you're not going to win votes just by becoming familiar, because there's no reason to think that the people who don't know you will split any differently than the people who already do.
That's right.
So it's a tough thing. And then especially, you know, if the contenders to Raimondo, if she's sending out these armies of people to do things that aren't illegal but do seem kind of inappropriate and unfair, somebody's going to come up with some anecdote somewhere and be able to promote that. Raimondo's trying to buy votes or whatever. And that could hurt an alternative candidate like Trillo, because people will say, well, we've got to stop that. And they won't risk throwing their vote away on somebody as a statement. So there's a lot at play there. But I think he really ought to be out there being a politician right now and just getting his face in news, not because he's put out the most outrageous or insulting statement about other candidates, and not because he has the strongest, most extreme policies, but because he's just somebody running for governor that you ought to like. That's where he ought to be positioning himself. And he ought to be doing that right now, because it's relatively easy, because there's not all that much news related to the race. So I'm not sure where he's going with that. I mean, maybe he has some master plan I'm not seeing, but if so, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. You know, I also think a lot of these candidates, as the field is filling out in for governor. Good afternoon, Lane. Again, good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. You know, it's interesting, Justin, because I think some of them don't understand there's only so much oxygen in the room. There's only so much that the media can cover. You do have a pending Senate race coming up. You do have, you know, the race for attorney general. You're going to have the race for lieutenant governor. What a lot of these candidates don't also understand is you can never control, and I try to tell them this sometimes, that the whole news cycle could get washed out with, look what happened down in Florida. I mean, suddenly, when you have an event like that with the shooting, boom, that just takes over and drowns out. So if you're saying, well, I'm going to wait until this day, or I'm going to wait till then, or you just have no control over an event, tragedy, something huge that could happen, where then they are scrambling. You know, right now, maybe they think it's easy to choose or get some press attention. As you get closer to the primary election, that's going to get, you know, more difficult, let alone if, in fact, you know, that happens. Now, there's two pieces I've never thought run. I've heard mixed things. I really don't think he's going to run. I've never thought he was going to be that much of a factor anyway, simply because, let's face it, if he had stayed in the race and been on the ballot in Rhode Island in 2016 for president, both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders would have crushed Chafee. I mean, we can discuss what he would have gotten, but I mean, it would have been so far below what someone, you know, you're supposed to win your home state in order to really get catapulted. But so I've never really thought he's a factor. I don't think he's running. He's kind of said, you know, I want to be visible, but he's not fully there. But I really want to hear what you think of Matt Brown, which came out of nowhere. I'm heard it completely caught the Raimondo people off guard. And what's even more damaging to me for her, Justin, is the fact he's running as an independent, not against her in a primary.
Right. Well, he's the obvious parallel is to Joe Trillo. So that would definitely, we've been talking about how Governor Raimondo has been putting a lot of effort into shoring up her progressive base. To try to win more of those people over and
yes.
make sure they don't bleed away. And here's, if anybody's not sold, Brown will give them somewhere to go. I mean, he talks about investing so much government money in clean energy stuff that we're exporting it and giving Rhode Islanders money back from our exports, just like Alaska does with oil. He's talking about socializing the banking system, basically. All the progressive, almost socialist stuff you hear from like a Regenberg, from the people who are challenging the establishment Democrats in Rhode Island. And if anybody's not sold, he gives them somewhere to go compared with the moderate candidate who according to the WPRI poll, if it's Fung and Raimondo in the main slot, the moderate candidate gets 2% and Joe Trillo gets 6. So if Brown could even match the moderate candidate, it's going to be on Raimondo's bill, and it's going to take away from her vote, and that brings it right down neck and neck at just 2% of the vote going to him, which is what a candidate who hasn't really officially declared in the moderate party gets. So that I would think that's a major concern for them. And it also raises some problem with, if she does invest her money in sending out people with the mail ballots, if Brown can get enough name recognition among that constituency that she'll be targeting, then they might take that opportunity of somebody bringing them a ballot to vote for her, for him rather than her. And that could take away some of that strategy too. So I think everybody is correct in assuming that this helps Raimondo. And what was it? The Providence General put it that,
I mean, hurts Raimondo.
Hurts Raimondo. Yes. So the Fung campaign, as they were cited as being, was it ecstatic or something like that, deliriously happy, I think was the way it was put it. And that they're right to do that, because it creates another wild card on the other side of this political spectrum. And it does make it an actual race again. I think a lot of us were starting to feel kind of fatalistic. If Trillo's staying in, it's over. And this takes that away and actually makes it interesting and unknowable in the outcome.
I think I think you're right. Number two, I think the Matt Brown entry into the governor's race, I think it is, talk about a fatal blow for the Raimondo campaign, because let's face it, he to me is more of the Bernie Sanders type. She was with Hillary, trying to court the Sanders people, and almost you could argue successfully has been doing that because of Smiley. You and I talked about it, that gun rally. There was Ruggenberg, there was Tansy. Matt Brown, normally where if she faced him in a primary, okay, maybe he makes her go more progressive left. She defeats him, and then she pivots back to the center to get the independence for the general. This is going to be very difficult if he is next to her on a stage in a general election debate and is basically, you know, unabashed and saying exactly what all the Bernie Sanders people want to hear, and kind of catches maybe some of that fire that the cool moose had. I think Matt Brown is far more potentially damaging to Raimondo than Trillo is to Fung, because Bernie Sanders did better in Rhode Island than President Trump did. Governor Raimondo, to me, let's face it, I mean, if Trillo brings Fung to 36, all right, it's not great. It could keep him above 40, but Governor Raimondo, if Trillo brings Fung to 36, I think Matt Brown has the potential to bring the governor below 30 based on the fact of how, you know, grassroots, alternative to her, was with the Sanders camp. Keep in mind, you remember when Brandon Bell, the big progressive, they had grades for Governor Raimondo. He gave her a D- or an F. I mean, many progressives have never forgotten that she was in the Hillary camp. So Matt Brown, I think that's a very interesting candidacy, and I've heard that the governor is very upset that her people did not see this coming. He was off the radar. They thought by keeping Chafee at bay, they had all the progressives locked up. But he presents a tremendous problem for her because he is well-spoken. He's you know, walking the walk and talking the talk and what his company is, what his aim is. He showed in 2006 he wasn't afraid to take on the establishment when he took on Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. I think he's learned from that. He's a very outgoing, gregarious guy, well-educated, highly likable. He is just a very, very different candidate than Gina Raimondo. And I think if you're a progressive in Providence, he may seem more relatable than, you know, than her. So I think he presents her with a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah. And you can see the tightrope she's going to have to walk. I mean, the obvious play would be to start saying that a vote for Brown is a vote for Fung or something along those lines. But if she's not careful with that, this base that she's been cultivating with her identity politics and other left-wing stuff will resent that. So it becomes very, very difficult to manage a wild card like that. And what'll be really interesting at this point, though, because he's just sort of announced after that poll, so it'll be interesting if we can find out what his thinking is and why he joined the race, whether somebody encouraged him to it or he just looked at the polling numbers and said, you know what, I'm going to get in there and mix this thing up. And maybe he thinks he has a shot. I think it's unlikely, but we'll see. But it does, like I said, bring a whole new level of interest to this campaign.
It does. And I also think he's smart in many ways. Folks, and again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I think it's also wise to not run in the Democrat Party, which we already saw the way that, you know, the Hillary people kind of rigged it against Bernie Sanders. But if you're Matt Brown and you're a true Bernie Sanders supporter, I think you remind people that she was with Hillary. She thought Hillary was going to win. She campaigned for Hillary. She even went against the Sanders people and voted for Hillary as a superdelegate at the Democrat convention, even though Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island. So I think I have felt there was an opening for a progressive. I've never thought it was Chafee because opinion of him has fallen so low. But I do think I think it's an opening for Matt Brown. Now, Justin, before we move into, Justin also had an op-ed piece in the Providence Journal the other day. I do want to ask you another story that appeared. It didn't get a lot of coverage, but this business that Governor Raimondo has, quote, a gentleman's agreement to sign on with the unions. It was not included in her budget. The Raimondo people won't talk about how much this is going to cost. I mean, you want to talk about lack of transparency. And to me, and the unions weren't even shy about saying, we're really going to grind in on some biggies that they want. I mean, talk about trying to neutralize them before the election and get them on board. There's no way the state of Rhode Island can afford many of these raises that Kathy Gregg reported in the Providence Journal with this, quote, gentleman's agreement that Raimondo has with the unions. This is one of the dangers when you have a governor who is trying to neutralize them as she's running for re-election.
Well, yeah, and the sort of backroom feeling of it is one of the bigger problems. A gentleman's agreement, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you think of, it's a bit of a stretch, but it does bring to mind President Obama telling the Russians, I'll have more flexibility after the election.
Yes.
What do you mean by a gentleman's agreement?
How would voters react if the PSAC said, we have a gentleman's agreement with the General Assembly, but we're not going to release what the numbers are? I mean, people would be in an uproar for crying out loud.
Yeah, and especially at a time when we've seen, I don't know, the teachers' union shouting down Mayor Alorza during a State of the State, East Providence, the teachers behaving, you know, dressing up in costumes and behaving outrageously there. Just this weekend in Newport, the teachers' unions took out an ad in the Newport Daily News, essentially rescheduling parent-teacher conferences out from under the administration. So there are a lot of reasons people are not particularly happy with government unions right now. And you've also got the Supreme Court set to rule on whether the union should be right to work in government, where you don't have to pay the union if you don't want to join them and you want to work in government. So to add into that particular mix this idea that she's got a backroom deal elected, that could be pretty explosive, and especially if there's now a progressive candidate who's going to be very happy to come out and say, we should just promise it to them outright, and it ought to be 12%.
Right.
there's a lot of, and that kind of secrecy, on the other hand, will also prevent her from pivoting to the center. As always, you get this impression that these are people in the Raimondo camp. They're people who maybe they understand politics, but they outsmart themselves almost,
yes.
I think, in a lot of these ways. They think they're too smart, and nobody's going to catch on to what they're doing. And instead, they end up generating this. And people who don't follow politics, you can pick up the feel of it all. And I think that's where that move particularly errs, is just thinking, you know what, we'll let this leak, and then we'll get our union people in, and that'll put that chip in that place. And life and politics just don't really work that way.
No, not at all. Now, Justin, also, folks, and again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with. Good afternoon, John, Donna, and Chris, and Ron. Yesterday, in the Providence Journal, there was a great op-ed piece by Justin Katz, and the title of it, When People Are Branded as Enemies, under the part where they run My Turn. And I'd like you to hear directly from you on this op-ed piece that you wrote that I thought hit the nail on the head and should have drawn more attention from the media.
Well, the summary of the issue is that the America's Future Foundation, AFF, is basically an opportunity for younger conservatives, mainly with a libertarian bent, to get together once a month, basically. And, you know, they have speakers or whatever, and it's just a social event. And they go to different places and, you know, try the beer and have some pizza or whatever. And they had scheduled a few weeks ago to go to Revival Brewing Company in Cranston. And a few hours before the event, the owner, Sean Larkin, saw a social media post from some anonymous person saying that AFF was really white supremacist. And so Sean Larkin got all, I want to say, excited. You know, everybody wants to be the one to fight back against the white supremacists. And so he thanked that person on his Facebook page. He went on the Facebook page of his company and canceled the event, vulgar language, you know, saying essentially go away, and accused them of being, even if it wasn't obvious, they were secret, hidden white supremacists, and canceled the event a few hours beforehand. There was some pushback on that, obviously, from the AFF folks, some of whom aren't even white. And so the next day, he kind of put a minor apology, apologizing for his Facebook post on his own page, but not apologizing for canceling it. And what struck me really about this was that nobody in Rhode Island media mentioned it. I mean, they cover a three-person rally that's anti-gun.
That's right. Yeah.
So here's a business saying, no, I will not serve you, even though your event was fine. I think you're a secret racist. And if you go back, what I did in the op-ed was I went back to some, it sounds extreme, but it's actually frighteningly not, some Nazi rhetoric about Jews and saying they were racist and they were the Jew supremacists. And it's very parallel, but it's hard to see because we think in categories. We think that the villain from last year is going to be the real villain now, and that's not how it works. You know, evil, as I say in the op-ed, evil changes its costumes. If you're looking at white supremacists, and that's your big evil that you're fighting back, they're not a threat because you've got your eye on them. What happens is the people who are fostering evil will come at you from a different direction, and I think that's what happened here. And I think it's important to acknowledge that and to be aware of that, and that way you don't get people overreacting in this way where they stop serving people because they might disagree with them politically. And still, I haven't heard a whole lot of opposition to outreach or outrage or really people in the mainstream saying, you know what, that's a good point. We should probably not go so far with this stuff. And it gets really dangerous. This is actually something some years ago, nobody wants to take, you never want to take the side of the bad guys, even people who are visibly bad, that you don't want to take the side of. But sometimes you have to. You know, what's the famous quote? I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it.
Absolutely.
Some years ago, what was it? The Phelps family, is that what they are? The kind of really crazy fundamentalists who go
yes.
around picketing
yep.
Military funerals
yes.
and that kind of just disgusting stuff. They were in Providence. You're talking, like, they're driving through the state for a couple hours, and they got out with their signs or whatever. You're talking a few people, and something like 50 to 100 students turned out to jeer them. And the media promoted that and said what great activism from the kids. And I instinctively pushed back on this because you're encouraging them, essentially, I would almost say that you're encouraging them to go, you know, jeer at mentally ill people. But that's the danger of that kind of encouragement falls into the same category as fostering like a Hitler youth, where just the kids, they don't know. They've been told those are the bad people and it's good to go jeer at them.
Right.
It's good to not serve them. And that really puts us in a dangerous position if we're not aware of how that can go wrong.
And just to get back to your piece before you let you go, what was so incredible about this was an anonymous post that someone posted. He basically went after them as a white supremacist group just because of an anonymous poster. I mean, if that had been reversed, if that had been like a Black Lives Matter and someone posted that they were planning something violent and then as a result of that it was canceled, they would be hell to pay. And it would have been 10, 12, and 6 would have been live outside the event to start the 6 o'clock news. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job, and we'll talk to you again.
Great. Thanks, John. Talk
All right.
Later.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, you can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. If you missed it, that was in yesterday's Providence Journal, where Justin wrote that op-ed piece about that situation where you had this group that was going to have a meeting and someone that just didn't like them posted this anonymous post on the a place where they were going to have the meeting saying that accusing them of being white supremacists, which, you know, today in this day and age right now, that's like screaming fire in a crowded theater. And as a result of that, the owner canceled it without knowing anything about it. I mean, very, very unfair. 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. Folks, I want to remind you, with all of the snow and ice, remember, West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340. It's Kenny. It's Patricia. It's West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence, West Fountain Auto Body. Automotive painting, refinishing, it is truly an art. If you find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body today, 272-3340. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Whenever you get behind the wheel of your vehicle, you never know what can happen on the road. You could have someone not paying attention, someone texting and driving. Good afternoon, Douglas. This is Wolf. You just never know. If you find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence, it's West Fountain Auto Body. Again, and if you're in an accident and the tow truck shows up, good afternoon, Ron, tell them, let's get this vehicle over to West Fountain Auto Body. West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340, 272-3340 for West Fountain Auto Body. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to reschedule John Edward. We're going to reschedule John Edward for another time. We were going to have him on, but scheduling did not work out. So those that were going to tune in, we will reschedule medium psychic John Edward. You know what jumps out at the news? In the meantime, though, 766-1380 coming up, the latest on Elizabeth Warren. And also, I'm going to play some of the sound of the special last night, Did OJ Confess? and it was the lost interview, lost confession. It was uncomfortable to watch. It was a little long. Parts of it were excellent, but I'm going to play you some of the sound that really stood out to me. But you know what I love? If you're a small business owner, now look at this. Massachusetts shoppers could get a big tax break as Governor Charlie Baker wants a permanent sales tax holiday. The governor wants to designate the last weekend of August for the sales tax-free holiday. You know what's incredible about that is Rhode Island won't do it, right? Good afternoon, Tammy. And I know for a fact that a number of businesses in Massachusetts tell people in Rhode Island, outside of Christmas, when they've done this tax-free holiday weekend, it's the biggest weekend they have outside of Christmas all year long. It's tremendous for business. It drives up business. Do you know, no one is... do you hear Governor Raimondo talking about we should have a tax-free holiday? Do you hear Speaker Mattiello saying, good afternoon, Kevin, we should have a tax-free holiday? A tax-free holiday would be tremendous for all the small businesses. And now Massachusetts is going to do it for the last weekend in August, which is smart because you catch a lot of the, you know, the going back to school and people shop. So why doesn't Rhode Island do it for Memorial Day weekend? 3 days tax-free, businesses in Rhode Island would do phenomenal business. There is no strategic thinking like that. You know, again, I know that a furniture dealer in Rhode Island, in Massachusetts, told a friend of mine that weekend he could not believe the amount of business that he did. And people were coming in. And of course, you know, once, how many small businesses are listening right now? One of the keys is just getting people through the door. And then maybe they were coming in for a couch, just a furniture one. Then they ended up buying a table and another chair. And it's tax-free. And if Rhode Island did it, you'd get Connecticut, Mass. They would all float in. There's no strategic thinking in that way. Terrible. I don't understand it. Governor Baker, permanent sales tax holiday. And he's smart to do that. It's good for business. Well, we don't want to lose the tax revenue. You'd make it up because the businesses would do great. And one of the hardest thing, if you're running a small business, is just to get people through the door, right? Just let them try it once. Plus all the people in Massachusetts and Connecticut that would then bring it back for service and everything else. So once again, I'll tell you, Governor Baker, what it is, he is heads and tails above as far as leadership and bold ideas, a way above Governor Raimondo as far as what's best for business. What's Governor Raimondo doing? A secret deal to give the unions raises in Rhode Island. A, quote, gentleman's agreement. That is absolutely outrageous. Now, folks, another storm, people losing power. Doesn't have to be that way. If you call our friends at Propane Plus, call Tim Johnson today at Propane Plus. In Rhode Island, 885-4209. 885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. Propane Plus, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. They'll enable propane delivery. Remember, with Propane Plus, propane provides heat, hot water, cooking, and standby power. Call Propane Plus today. They pipe it in just like natural gas. The tank can be buried or it could be above ground. Call Propane Plus. Call Tim Johnson, 885-4209. Good afternoon, Joan. It's Propane Plus, 885-4209, or in Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. Always online at propaneplus.com. I think a tax-free holiday would be tremendous for businesses in Rhode Island. Tremendous. Think of that, and you have to do it. All right, so Massachusetts is looking, making it a permanent sales tax holiday, and they want to do it for the last weekend of August. So, all right, so that's taken, right? So why not say, you know what? We're going to do it Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend, there's still a lot of people around. A lot of people, the weather, let's face it, it's not exactly beach weather. The last weekend in August is very smart because you get the back-to-school crowd. People would wait for back-to-school shopping to do it. But it's not even brought about. It's not even discussed. There's no proactive thinking. That's why, folks, you know, we have to, I personally, I cannot wait to vote against Governor Raimondo. And for her spokespeople to say, well, you know, there's a disconnect, public's perception of it. Well, you know, that's basically saying the public are a bunch of idiots. We've done a great job. They just don't understand it. I don't think that's the case. I think the public's perception of Governor Raimondo, Queena, is very, very accurate. That she is a failed governor. She is, it's transparent. She was bailing Rhode Island for the Hillary campaign. All she does is go around and promote herself, not the state. It's all about raising money with her. They are arrogant. She has a liberal progressive agenda that does not match the agenda of the people of the state. And that's why I believe she's going to lose or definitely try to steal the election through emergency ballots and mail ballots. That's what I think. Folks, 766-1380, 766-1380. Hey, I want to remind you, you want to talk about a great local business. How about Southern New England's indoor garden supply store, Grow It Green? If you're going to grow it green. They supply quality products and reliable information to hobby gardeners and MMJ patients. Grow It Green. They're open 7 days a week. They're located 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. It's Grow It Green. You can call them at 508-883-4769. Grow It Green. Southern New England's indoor garden supply shop. They carry the industry's top name brand equipment such as Sunleaves, Hydrofarms, Sunlight Supply, Grow It Green. They specialize in hydroponics, soils, nutrients, lighting, ventilation, and most important, knowledge and experience. Grow It Green. Southern New England's only five-star rated indoor growing supply store. And for good reason, over 20 years experience, competitive pricing on all major brands, lighting brands, nutrient brands, friendly, educated staff able to assist with all aspects of your grow. Consultations are available. They're open 7 days a week. If you're going to grow it, good afternoon, Martha. If you're going to grow it green. Stop it and see them. Remember, trimmer rentals, $300. CO2 tank refills, $20. Grow It Green. 7 days a week, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. Call them at 508-883-4769. Grow It Green, 508-883-4769. We're going to take more of your phone calls, 766-1380, 766-1380. You can email me, john@depetro.com, john@depetro.com. I love, even the New York Post carries the story. Elizabeth Warren refuses DNA test to prove Native American heritage. Why would you do that? Why would you refuse it? Good afternoon, Robert. Unless you're a fake, unless you know that the whole thing is a fraud. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren refused to say whether she would serve a full six-year term if reelected to the Senate under persistent questioning from NBC's Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. When asked if she would pledge to voters to serve a full six-year term, Warren repeatedly avoided the question, insisting she's not running for president. Todd kept pressing her. I take it as a no. You're not pledging to serve your full six-year term. She said, I said, I've already told you, I have no intention of running for president. Todd pointed out many presidential candidates in the past have said the same thing. Also, he asked her, why not just take the DNA test and prove once and for all whether or not, in fact, you are a Native American? And I thought he shared a very good story. Chuck Todd of Meet the Press said, you know, when I was growing up, I had a member of my family that was saying that we were related to the general, Robert E. Lee. Well, when we really tracked the ancestry, we found out that there was a Lee, but it wasn't General Lee that we were related to. Listen, Senator Elizabeth Warren, she is a fraud. She's always been a fraud. There's two things that you should know. Number one, three things. Number one, Jeff Deal is going to win that race. Number one, Republican Jeff Deal. Number two, she has no intention of serving 6 years. Zero. None. That's number one. And also, number two, not only does she not intend to serve her six-year term, if she truly were a Native American, she would take that DNA test and prove it once and for all. But she won't do that either. So all it is a memorized speech. That's what she comes up with. Now, again, good afternoon, G-Man. We'll play it. She was on Meet the Press. I am going to play that coming up, along with some of the sound from last night. That was riveting television regarding O.J. Simpson last night. It really was. The lost confession that it's insanity, folks. It's insanity. And when you hear it, as someone that followed it, I mean, I'll play it for you. I am going to play it for you coming up. Hey, I want to remind you, one of the most important things you can do for yourself, for your family, is clean drinking water. That's right. She is a fake. Good afternoon, Barbara. Water Filter Company. You know, Tom Brady, number 12, TB12, was on Good Morning America, and he talked about the importance of how much water he drinks. But it's clean, purified water without he, of course, you think he's just drinking it out of the tap? Folks, call Water Filter Company today. Located North Kingstown, call Water Filter Company. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. I called them, and we had a water filter installed in our home in 10 minutes, and you notice the difference. Now, many areas, whether it be Rhode Island or Massachusetts, if you want clean drinking water, call Water Filter Company today. At least call for a free consultation. It's Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. And bottled water is an unregulated industry. You actually don't know what you're getting with bottled water. Instead, call Water Filter Company today. You notice the difference. You know, many people, you don't know the contamination that is coming out of a lot of those pipes as you try to just drink regular tap water. And instead, call Water Filter Company today. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. It's Steve. It's Alice. It's your water. It's clean drinking water. Call Water Filter Company today. 294-2400. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Coming up, more of your phone calls. 766-1380. 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. Remember, follow me on both Facebook and Twitter. It's John DePietro Show, and you can always listen at 99.9 FM and AM 1380. And it's WNRI. The Power Hour is next. Leave it right here. The John DePietro Show. A lot more to go on WNRI.
WNRI Woonsocket. W236CW. W260DC. WNRI.